Success isn't given, it's earned. And earning it means becoming the person who deserves it. The bottom line is where we cut through the chaos to simplify success, uncovering the strategies, mindset, and resilience it takes to win. Real stories, expert insights, and practical tools. Because the only way to the top is by putting in the work. This is The Bottom Line. Welcome to The Bottom Line. I'm your host, Ryan Herpin. And I'm excited to have you here today. This show is all about cutting through the chaos to simplify success. I believe there is more to success than a fancy degree or awesome title. I believe that success, in any way you can define it, is only possible by being someone worthy and deserving of it. Because I define success as more than a financial status or exciting accolades, today we're going to talk about resilience, a key factor in becoming successful. At times, it can feel like the world's stacked against us, whether it be as a parent, as a friend, as a business owner. It doesn't really matter where you're at, but it can all pile on, and it can feel like there's no way out. But resilience is what separates those who rise from those who remain stuck. It's not about avoiding failure, but about how we respond when failure hits. Life will knock you down. Business will bring obstacles. People will disappoint you. But success isn't about never failing. It's about always getting back up. Some of the greatest success stories in history come from those who refused to quit when everything was against them. Walt Disney was fired from a newspaper job for lacking creativity before building one of the most successful entertainment enterprises in the world. And J.K. Rowling faced multiple rejections before finally publishing Harry Potter, a series that has inspired millions. Colonel Sanders was rejected over 1,000 times before KFC became a global brand. Each of these individuals faced crushing setbacks, but their determination and resilience led them to unprecedented success. Thomas Edison failed over 1,000 times before inventing the light bulb. Imagine if he would have stopped after failing even 100 times. How many of us give up and quit after facing even a little opposition? Oprah Winfrey is another good example. She was told that she wasn't fit for television. Michael Jordan was cut from his high school basketball team. Every one of them had the choice to give up or push forward. And because they pushed forward, they changed the world. Resilience isn't a skill or attribute reserved for a privileged few. Resilience is a choice that we all have. But let me bring this a little closer to home. How often do we let small setbacks define us? Maybe business deals fell through, a relationship ended, or an opportunity you worked so hard for slipped away. In those moments, it's easy to feel defeated. But here's the truth. The ones who keep going, the ones who use failure as fuel, those are the ones who win in the long run. So how do we build resilience? Grab a pen and paper because I have three core principles to do just that. Number one, reframe the setback. Instead of seeing obstacles as roadblocks, see them as stepping stones. Every challenge is an opportunity to grow. The way we interpret failure directly impacts our ability to move forward. If we see setbacks as personal failures, we internalize them and struggle to recover. But if we see them as lessons, data points that inform our next step, we develop a mindset of continuous improvement. Think of every challenge as an opportunity to refine your skills, strengthen your mindset, and gain deeper insights into your goals. Two, control what you can. You can't control everything, but you can control your response, your attitude, and your next move. Think of it as responding instead of reacting. Many people waste energy focusing on things outside of their control. Other people's opinions, unexpected setbacks, or economic downturns. True resilience comes from shifting that focus inward. Ask yourself, what can I influence right now? What's the next best step I can take? By concentrating on actions within your control, you regain a sense of agency and momentum no matter the circumstances. 3, keep moving forward. Progress, no matter how small, is still progress. The key to resilience is action. Keep taking steps forward, even when they're small. When facing adversity, it's easy to become paralyzed by fear or uncertainty, but waiting for the project to fully fulfill is not always the right answer. Perfect moments and perfect plans only lead to stagnation. If you focus too heavily on everything being perfect and always exactly right, you might not get anywhere. Instead, focus on taking the next small step. Small wins compound over time, creating momentum and confidence. The single, rather simple act of just moving forward, even if it's just one small decision, can break the cycle of fear and doubt, leading to breakthroughs and success. Before we get to our guests, I want to share a simple story of how I applied these principles early in my career while being mentored by a man named Jack Smith. I was a welder who had recently been promoted to a supervisor. At just 23 years old, I suddenly found myself in charge of a production line that needed to grow by over 100% to meet demand. I had no prior experience in leadership, and the weight of that responsibility was literally overwhelming. The sounds of grinding metal and heat from all the welding torches and that consistent pressure of deadlines made it feel like the goals posed an insurmountable challenge. My mentor, Jack, one of the owners of the company, was not one to hand out praise. He was tough, relentless, and expected results. Every day he pushed me to do more, to think critically, and to step up beyond what I believed I was capable of. He tested my resilience and discipline, throwing more responsibilities my way and demanded solutions instead of excuses. At first, I let the pressure and the newfound authority go to my head. As a 23-year-old, I kind of gave into some of that. I became a dictator rather than a leader. I barked orders, drove the team hard, and expected obedience without understanding the real meaning of leadership. The production numbers improved, but the morale of the workers plummeted. Resentment replaced respect. And the team that once had my back started seeing me as the enemy. Jack saw what was happening and decided to teach me a lesson I would never forget. One day he surprised me on the production floor without much ceremony. He stripped me away of my title and cut my pay in half. I had gone from supervisor to everyone's helper. Right back to where I started. Standing there, stunned, I couldn't believe what just happened. I feel like I had everything, then all of a sudden it was ripped away. My mind racing, I had really thought, like, did I just fail that bad? Did this just end my career and opportunity to grow in this field as a leader? Jack looked me in my eyes and said, a good leader is just a servant of the people he leads. You forgot that. Now you have a choice. Quit and run, or stay, learn, and become the leader your team actually wants. That moment really stung. That was not what I wanted to hear, obviously, at 23 years old. It's not something I thought I was going to have to deal with and go through. I thought I was on the straight and narrow. It felt like I hit rock bottom. Most people would have walked away humiliated, but I chose to stay. I worked side by side with the same workers I had once ordered around. I listened to them, understood their struggles, and earned their respect, not through authority, but through humility and service. Over time, something incredible happened. I transformed. And in the end, I didn't just earn back my title. I was promoted to the director of operations, leading the very leaders that I once worked under. That experience taught me that resilience isn't just about enduring tough times. It's about learning, growing, and becoming stronger because of them. Leadership, success, and resilience are forged in the toughest moments, and it's how we handle them that defines who we become. To recap my story, resilience played a role in three critical ways. First, I had to reframe this setback. Losing my title and pay wasn't the end, it sucked, but it was an opportunity to learn what true leadership meant. Rather than seeing it as a punishment, I began to see it as an essential lesson in servant leadership. Second, I learned to control what I could. I couldn't change the fact that I had been demoted, but I could control my attitude, my response, and my willingness to continue learning. I chose humility over pride, and instead of resenting and resisting the challenge, I embraced it. Finally, I committed to keep moving forward. Instead of quitting, I kept showing up, proving myself through hard work and persistence. I rebuilt the trust with my team and in time earned my title back, this time as a leader who truly served his people. The experience shaped me into the leader I am today, proving that resilience isn't just about enduring tough times, it's about using them as stepping stones for something greater. Funny enough, I learned a similar lesson from an unexpected place, a restroom of all places, at a friend's house. I saw a sign that read, "Sometimes good things fall apart so better things can fall together." At the time, I rolled my eyes, thinking it was just another cliche. But now, looking back, that sign held more truth than I realized. And when I lost my title and had my pay cut, I felt like my world was falling apart. But if I had given up then, I would have never seen the better opportunities ahead, becoming a leader who truly served his team. Resilience isn't just about enduring the fall. It's about trusting that something better can come together if you stay in the fight. Today, we have an incredible guest joining us to talk about his own journey with resilience. He knows firsthand what it means to face challenges and push through. Let's get ready to welcome our guest. And I'll see you soon on the next segment. Welcome back to The Bottom Line. I'm Ryan Herpin, and we're diving deeper into today's topic, the power of resilience. We've just explored the foundations of resilience, how to reframe our setbacks, how to control what we can, and how to keep moving forward. Now I want to introduce someone who embodies these principles in both business and life, Jared Woodard. Jared is an Aflac agent who I've had the privilege to get to know over the past year. Jared, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you.
So I want to jump right into this. What was the toughest moment in your career and what kept you from giving up?
Well, you know, I've had two major careers. So when you ask about the toughest moment, there's two different sides to it. You know, before I became an Aflac agent, there were some pretty harrowing tales. But as an Aflac agent, I honestly think, as bad as it sounds, the toughest thing I've run into is the naysayers, the negative people that want to talk about you behind your back and lie to you, to your face, just to make themselves seem better. These people are supposed to be on your team. They're supposed to be your supporters. They're supposed to want you to be successful, because when you're successful, they're successful. But then you hear them talk about things like, you know, just being so negative behind you. And for me, that was a low blow, because that's not something I care to put up with, you know. It's so, when I heard it, I honestly wanted to quit right then and there and find a different job, because I did not want to be involved with the negativity. But obviously I didn't quit, because that's not who I am. But it was one of those moments where you're just like, what, really? This is what I have to deal with on a day-to-day basis? Are you kidding me right now? Like,
I like how you brought that up. You know, it brings a different dynamic and perspective on where resilience can come into play. Sometimes it's toxic environments, and those toxic environments can create such a hard, hard place to be and hard place to work and be creative and to move forward and to strive to meet those goals and achieve things, right? And that's I think, a really good point you bring, because there's so many toxic environments out there that slow people down or just kind of whittle them down over time to where they don't feel like they can make the difference they are meant to make. So that leads me to something different here. How do you maintain a strong mindset when things don't go as planned?
You know, I've thought about this a lot over the years, and I have to say it comes from a few different things. You know, when I was younger, my parents had me in martial arts and Boy Scouts, and of course I learned always to be prepared for whatever may be coming and to think on my feet if I had to. You know, and then you throw in my faith. My faith has always been a cornerstone for me. One of the things I tell people jokingly, but I mean it seriously too at the same time, is my, you know, you have those people that come up to you and tell you, yeah, you're special. And they usually don't mean it in a very good way. And I always tell them, yeah, I'm fully aware that I'm special. My grandmother told me so.
Right.
You know, and I've always had that family support. You know, so between the my religion, my family, and my upbringing, it has given me a solid foundation. And I always know that no matter what happens, I always have somewhere to go at the end of the day. I always can return home and start over again. And for me, that's always been how I keep going, no matter what. I know that tomorrow's another day, and I can just start all over again and keep going. And then no matter
what, I really like that. I really like that. I there was definitely some gold in what you just said. And I'd like to highlight a few of those points you made, a couple of the parts of this that you brought up. Foundation, right? When you define foundation for something that's going to help you maintain that strong mindset, you addressed a few things that I believe deeply, and that is the people around you, the family, the support system you have. And sometimes, yes, there's people that are wishy-washy and can either build you up or break you down. But that support system is so powerful and so important in keeping that strong mentality, that strong mindset, and to stay resilient in the face of other oppositions, right? But you also brought up faith, right? I believe purpose and faith tie hand in hand. They're so closely knit that with faith, purpose, religion, all these things, they can give you a strong sense of why. They give you that powerful burning passion of why you get up every day, why you do what you do, what's the point of moving forward, right? That sense of purpose. And I think that is another part of that foundation that is completely necessary to stay strong. So another good question is, how important is faith, discipline, or having a strong why from your point of view?
You know, I believe everybody has a why, regardless of what it may be. I think everybody, whatever they do day in and day out, they have a why. They have an end goal they want to reach, whether it be to buy a fancy new car, fancy new house, or to enrich their lives and support their family. Everybody's got a why. But that faith and that discipline on the back end, I think, is what really sets people apart. Because if you don't have the faith, if you don't have the discipline built into it, the why can be great and all, but you're not going to be able to accomplish it nearly as well as if you have those other two components. So for me, my faith and my discipline has always been my driving factor, right? I know that no matter how hard things get, that, you know, with my faith, that things are always going to turn out for the better. And that drives me to sit there and do whatever has to be done to get the job done. Like, whether it be spending 3 hours on the phone between calling, you know, headquarters to get things taken care of because somebody else can't do it on their end or whatever the case may be, you know, if I have to sit there on that phone and do it for 3 hours straight, and let me tell you, that's exhausting. Talking to 60 different people on the phone for 3 hours straight, that can get really exhausting. But, you know, you got to have that drive to just get the job done and make sure that everybody is happy at the end of the day. And so in my opinion, that faith and that discipline are what really set things apart. Like, we all have a good why, whether we know what it is consciously or subconsciously, we all have a why. But that faith and that discipline is always going to be what's that driving factor.
You know, I could not agree with you more. Recently, when I became a co-author of a book, I wrote about my three principles of success. And I love how you just explained faith, discipline, and why or purpose, right? I wrote my foundations, my principles for success are purpose, discipline, and unshakable self-belief, right? And kind of like to address what you said in the previous question is that support system as well. And I believe having that faith is a driving force to support that discipline. And the reason why is so important, right? So I look at it as your purpose is that base, that concrete, that cement. Your discipline is that driving force, that engine that builds you, grows your purpose, grows your disciplines, grows everything kind of all together. Discipline works in mysterious ways. And then your belief in yourself, supported by those around you, becomes the glue that holds it all together, right? And when it comes to overcoming challenges, if you don't have a good reason to overcome those challenges, why bother, right? And something that I like to really chew on over the course of a year, getting to know you and work with you in networking settings, business settings, one thing stands out to me consistently is instead of talking solely about your product, your service, what it is you do, you talk about your reason why and the deeper aspect of serving people. To me, that's so powerful. I think that sets you apart in my mind as someone who has true resilience, because even though things get hard, you always talk about that you're there to serve people. So my question to you is, where does servitude play in your life?
It's honestly the driving factor for everything I do. You know, I went through some tough times in college, and but it was a good time where I was able to really discover who I am and who I wanted to be. And the one driving factor for me was there was nothing that ever made me quite as happy as helping other people. And I've spent my entire adulthood trying to make that happen one way or the other. And so any decision I make, anything that I choose to do with my life, I step out there with that frame of mind. I'm doing this to help other people. And honestly, I think it's the greatest thing anybody can do with their lives. But when you get that thank you, or that, you know, we're so happy you were here, or thank you for the help, or whatever it may be, however it may come, it's great. It's probably the most rewarding thing you can get in my career. I remember one day specifically in my previous job, I had literally been yelled at, cussed, cursed, you know, from top to bottom and dragged through the mud. And I walked across the street and I had an individual thank me for all the hard work that I had done. And I looked and I went home that night looking myself in the mirror, and I said, I pretty much just described my entire professional career in 5 minutes. You got Wow. those people that want to sit there and tear you down, but then you go right across the street and somebody is thanking you for all the hard work. And that makes it worth it. So, you know, for me, I can go to bed at night knowing that I did whatever I could to make somebody's life better.
And I think that hits deep. That at least it does with me. Because what I think you just expressed is you find your fulfillment in what you do. You believe you're serving your purpose by serving others. And when you do that, even though it's thankless a lot of the time and people don't, you know, they maybe don't appreciate it the way that, you know, most people, others would, but you find that fulfillment out of it. And knowing that you made an impact on somebody's life, you helped them through a hard situation, or you gave them the support through your insurance policies, right? To get them through something that seemed impossible or completely detrimental to the success and well-being of their family. That's where you find your fulfillment. Like you said, that helps you sleep at night. And I can definitely attest to that's where I find my fulfillment, when I'm helping others grow, achieve different things, identify weaknesses and overcome them. To me, that's where I find my fulfillment. So I'm going to jump in right there, and don't go anywhere. We're going to get right back to the show here soon with more Jared and talk about the deeper aspects of resilience. Stay tuned for more on The Bottom Line. Welcome back to The Bottom Line. If you're just tuning in, we're discussing the power of resilience and how it plays a role in overcoming adversity. We've heard about the challenges Jared has faced and the mindset shifts that have helped him push through. Resilience is not something that is automatically there for everybody. Sometimes you have to work on it, just like a muscle. You've got to work on it over time consistently to build that resilience, to get strong and to stand firm in the face of opposition. And I think Jared is a wonderful person to talk to about this topic, as he's had a lot of different exposures to different opportunities to be resilient. It's not always easy in the world of business. It's not always easy as a parent, as a friend, as a sibling. But sharing the experiences from others can help us gap years of struggles ourselves. So I want to dive right back in with Mr. Jared. Thank you for being here, Jared. I appreciate you having you on the show. I want to jump into, what are the key habits that have helped you stay resilient over the years?
The biggest key habit for me, like I was saying earlier, previously, is that being willing to do what it takes to get the job done, right? Whether that be I have to sit on the phone for 3 hours, or that be I have to sit down and fill out paperwork for another two. You know, it's not glamorous. It's not the best part of the job in the world. But at the same time, it's what needs to be done to really make things happen, right? And with how I operate my current, business as an athletic agent, my job is to go out there and create a product for individuals that's going to help them and their business, right? And so I put in all my effort. I become completely invested in the company that I'm helping as if it was my own, because I want to make sure that they're successful, right? So, it's all about digging in, doing what it takes to get it done, and giving it every ounce of energy you have to devote to it, right? And because at that point, anybody could sell you a product, right? But when you have the individual, when you have the agent, or you have the coach sitting next to you, then all of a sudden that product becomes that much more valuable, because you not only just have said product, but you have somebody that's going to help you develop that product and help your business, and you're going to become an asset to those people. And for me, that's where it comes. You just got to sit down and you just got to do it, right? I had an opportunity to help a company that was over 3 hours away from me. And I was, told, you don't have to drive up there. You can just do a Zoom call. Well, no, that's not how I operate. If I'm going to go meet a business, in one place an hour away, why would I not go meet somebody that's 3 hours away? If they need the help, they need the assistance, I want them to understand and know that I'm going to be there to help them, however that may be.
I think that's a really powerful look on this. And if I'm picking this up correctly, it's almost like the habit you have that helps you stay resilient is just the discipline of going the extra mile. Is taking it seriously, being more personable, taking the business out of it and making it more of a relationship type setting. Whereas you're putting yourself and your client in the position of, I'm here to help you. I'm here to help you get what it is you're looking for. I'm here to serve you with everything I've got. So it sounds like a habit is just your discipline and commitment to delivering the best that you can. And I think that's something all of us could learn from. I know there's times where I struggle to give 100% in everything it is I'm doing. I mean, goodness, some days you get to the end of the day, you don't think you've got any gas left in the tank. But, you know, like with being a father, sometimes, you know, your kid wants to play and you've got to pull that out of you. So having that discipline to stay focused on giving 100% of yourself wherever you can, I think that's a good way to build that resilience, because now you're forced to put out every time you can for other people. So that leads me to something that's a little harder for some of us to overcome, and that's, how do you deal with rejection and failure in the sales world?
You know, at the beginning of this year, we had a tragedy happen within our little Aflac family. We lost one of our great mentors, and I can honestly say one of the things that he taught me when I got into the business was, if somebody rejects you, somebody doesn't want to talk to you, that's okay. That just means they don't need you right then and there. Or, you know, don't worry about it, because somebody else down the road is going to need you, you know. And if they're not ready for your help, then so be it. You'll come back, and when they're ready, they're ready. And through everything I've done with my life, that's the one thing that's always remained constant when it comes to helping people. You can try and help somebody all day long, but until they're ready and willing for the help and accept it, you're not going to be able to effectively make any kind of difference in someone's life. And it's the same thing with sales. If somebody doesn't want you or your product, okay, then they're not ready for it. It's not going to do them any good anyway. So you're better off moving on, tossing it to the side, and you just keep moving forward. Like I said, I know I'm special. My grandmother told me so. So when I get that rejection, I'm okay with it, because I'm still going to be that special person walking down the road, helping that next individual out. And that's, to me, that's all you need.
I really like that. I think keeping it relevant in your mind that you are unique, you are special, you are someone that can endure, right? And understanding that, you know, it's okay. Someone doesn't need your services, no problem. Not the end of the world. There's tons of people out there. Doesn't mean you're not going to find anybody. It just means maybe this person's not the right person, or maybe it's not the right time. But I think you're highlighting optimism, staying optimistic. And even though it's can be hard and people can be difficult or give you the runaround, like I've experienced many times, it's still knowing and understanding that might not be the right time right now. Maybe I'll call them in 2 weeks. Maybe I'll meet them again in passing some other time, and maybe then's the right time. Or, you know what? Maybe today is a loss. Tomorrow could be a win. It's keeping that mindset. I feel like that's so important, of just having that optimistic look on those opportunities. So you're someone with a massive heart. And I can say this because like I said before, I've had the privilege of getting to know you over the course of last year. Even though we deal a lot with business, we've had chances to sit down and talk on the deeper side of things. And I think you're one of the best people I could probably ask about this. If someone is feeling stuck and struggling to move forward, what's the first step they should take?
When you're feeling stuck, yes, it can look bad. Don't get me wrong. But at the end of the day, you've got to pick your head up and understand you're not alone in this. There's somebody else out there that's been there, that's gone through this. I've reached out to plenty of people that have done this job before and asked for, you know, hints or tips, or, you know, have you been through this? Have you experienced this? And I think in the end, though, it all goes back to, if you truly open your eyes and you look around, you have somebody in your corner that is there to help you. I remember at one point, you know, things were looking a little tough. Getting started in a brand new business and opening up your own business is one of those things. It's just very, very hard. And I remember picking up that phone and calling my wife and asking her, you know, is this really worth it? And she would just, you know, she would tell me, this too shall pass. And I about wanted to drop the phone, because the answer's always been right there in front of me, right? Hard times come, hard times go. you get stuck, you get in a groove, look to those people, look to your surrounding, look to your support group. And if you don't have a support group, by all means, give me a call. I'll be right there in your corner to help you out. I will be your support group. I can be the most positive individual you ever need, or I can be the most sarcastic individual you need in your life, whichever it may be. And so for me, it's my support. Like, you get stuck, you get in that hard spot, rely on that support that you have in your life. And then again, if you don't have it, I guarantee you somebody somewhere cares and wants to hear about it. You just got to find that person.
I find that extremely powerful. As a matter of fact, you kind of pluck some heartstrings with me, because you kind of helped me look back a little bit and think about all the things that I've run into, all the problems I faced, and all those times I felt stuck and unable to move forward, or like, man, maybe this just isn't the right move. Maybe it's not going to happen. And every single time, I depended and relied on the people around me, my support group, to help pull me out of that groove, to help pull me out of that position and remind me that I've got this, right? I think what you're saying right now is probably the most important aspect of resilience. It's not that we have to be that foundation, that immovable force all the time. We can't be. We have to have people around us that help us stay strong, help us stay focused, help us move forward. And I think that applies to life and business. You can't have one without the other. You can't separate life from business. It's all one. What you deal with in your business life will affect your personal life, and vice versa. So having that support group that supports you all the way around, I would say, is probably detrimental to everyone's success. And like you said, if you don't have a support group, find one. Find people, meet people, do whatever it is you can to have someone in your corner. I love where this conversation is going, and I think there's other people out there that would probably be interested in just getting to know you, to understand your philosophies more, and maybe even give Aflac a try, because now they see there's somebody with a massive heart just trying to help people with what they do. Where can our viewers find you? What's the best way to get a hold of you?
Well, the best way to get a hold of me is always going to be first to call me. You know, I know when I was, the one thing I try to do is get my phone number out there, because I don't have two phones. I don't have a business phone. I don't have a secretary. I just have my cell phone. And so for people to call me is always going to be the best way. I have a Facebook page where it's under my name. And I have a business side to it called Independent Business Consultant for Aflac. And I have a LinkedIn profile too, but honestly, the best way to always get a hold of me is going to be just to give me a call.
Thank you, Jared. I absolutely appreciated having you on the show. You're a wonderful person to talk to and get to know. And I recommend reaching out to him. This man's full of wonderful ideas and philosophies. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back on The Bottom Line. We are back to The Bottom Line with your host, Ryan Herpin. We've spent today breaking down resilience, what it means, how we develop it, and how it shapes our future. Resilience to me is more than just a word. It's not something everyone is born with. I feel like a lot of the time you have to develop it. It's something you have to work on, something you have to grow. And at times life gets really hard. Business gets hard. You've got to develop a thick hide, some thick skin, a tough sense of ability to move forward even when there's opposition. And if today's discussion has shown us anything, it's that resilience isn't just about surviving challenges. It's about transforming struggles into stepping stones. Resilience is about training your mind and spirit to endure, adapt, and emerge stronger. Let's look at a real-life example. One of the most powerful displays of resilience in history, in my opinion, is Nelson Mandela. He spent 27 years in prison, enduring hardship and isolation. I don't know about you, I've never been to prison. That's a long time. Yet, he never lost sight of his vision for a better future. When he was finally released, he didn't seek revenge. He led with forgiveness, uniting a fractured country and proving that even the worst circumstances cannot defeat a determined spirit. His story reminds us that our greatest struggles can shape us into the strongest version of ourselves. I think of it as you can't grow in comfort zones. Growth requires uncomfortability. It requires fighting challenges, overcoming problems, and hitting those inevitable speed bumps and curveballs of life. You've got to be able to surpass that, to overcome it. That is where growth is found. So a philosophy of mine and something that I help with my clients is, if you're getting comfortable, you're not growing. You have to be comfortable being uncomfortable. Another example is Harriet Tubman, who escaped slavery and then returned multiple times to free hundreds of others. She faced unimaginable danger, yet she pressed on, guided by her unshakable belief in freedom. Her resilience changed the lives of so many, proving that purpose fuels persistence. I find that story to be extremely powerful. I think Harriet Tubman was a great leader by example. That type of resilience is not the type that many of us will ever have to face. I don't think we're ever going to have to run into gunfire and pull people out and keep going back and forth. But let's consider the facts. There are people out there that set a great example of what it means to jump in the line of challenge and to become something better on the other side. You can either A, let life throw challenges your way and let it win. Yeah, we can put you in a corner, throw a sheet over your head, and feed you three times a day, but what kind of life is that? A life without challenge is not a life at all. So resilience has to become a part of who we are. Different degrees for everybody, but resilience is a part of what makes life interesting. Opposition gives you challenges to overcome, right? We can say this a million times, and it's always going to be true. Let's also consider Steve Jobs, who was fired from Apple, the company he co-founded. Instead of giving up, he used that setback as fuel, eventually returning to revolutionize technology as we know it today. His story teaches us that sometimes setbacks are setups for greater success. Think of this as a muscle. The more you exercise it, the stronger it becomes. Every hardship, every rejection, and every failure is an opportunity to build your resilience and develop unshakable confidence. I believe that if you can work through the pain of a wound, it will provide wisdom. And to unpack that, on any kind of sports team out there, you don't become the best without putting in the work. You don't become the smartest, the strongest, the most successful without putting in the work. And the work is just a chain of opposition, problem, struggle that you have to keep overcoming. Resilience can be automatic because life automatically will throw a challenge your way. But resilience, as I said before, is a choice. It's not automatic in the sense that you don't have to face struggle head on. You can cover your eyes and try to look away from the problem, but it's not going to disappear. Resilience is driving forward no matter what. The reality is we all face adversity, but the real test isn't the challenge itself. It's how we respond. Resilience is about mindset. It's about choosing to see obstacles as lessons rather than losses. Every challenge we overcome is a brick in the foundation of our future success. We all have moments where we wonder if we should keep going. But the people who achieve greatness, the ones who build success on their own terms, are the ones who refuse to stay down. As I said, resilience is a choice. It's not about bouncing back. It's about bouncing forward, using setbacks as a launching pad for greater achievements. You don't have to be the smartest person in the room, the most talented, the most connected, but you do have to be willing to endure, adapt, and persist. But if you are willing to keep pushing forward, if you refuse to let failure define you, you will succeed. I want to give you an interactive challenge. resilience isn't just a concept, it's a practice. Think about one of your greatest struggles. How did you respond? How would you respond differently today? Take a moment today and reflect. What is one challenge in your life right now that is testing your resilience? Write it down. Next to it, write down three things that are within your control. Actions you can take to move forward. The first step to resilience is recognizing that even in the face of adversity, you still have power over your next move. I like to measure. That's something that I repeat over and over and over to my clients. Measurement, measurement, measurement. You cannot change what you cannot measure. If I unpack that a little bit, we can measure most anything. You just have to be creative. So when it comes to your resilience, when it comes to building resilience, track your challenges mentally, physically, emotionally. Any challenge to be overcome is an opportunity to build resilience, to build mindset, to build the grit factor, to become formidable in any sense. Writing those things down, keeping track, and measuring your performance gives you the opportunity to use insight, data, to become better and to change the areas that you feel you're falling short or making mistakes. As Maya Angelou once said, I can be changed by what happens to me, but I refuse to be reduced by it. Those are powerful words. Life can change us. Problems can change us. We hope it does. We want it to. We don't want to stay the same forever. We want our problems to shape us into a better version of ourselves. We want to be refined. We want to be stronger. We want to be better. But we don't want to let that reduce us. We don't want to let those challenges, those opportunities to become more, to have the other effect and break us down, to making us less than who we are, who we want to be. It's about refusing to let difficulty define you. Remember that even in your darkest moments, there is light ahead if you keep moving forward. There are hundreds of other possible examples out there of resilience and where it applies. For me, I want to get down to some of what I deal with in business. As a consultant, I see countless problems in different businesses, different industries. The fact is, resilience looks the same in business. It's choosing to rise above and make something happen. Because in reality, as entrepreneurs, it's not just us that we're making the difference for. As your business grows, you're feeding families. You're taking care of employees. You're providing a service that may be detrimental to others' well-being. If a challenge breaks you down, what is that doing to the people around you, the people you serve, the people you lead? As an entrepreneur, as a leader in any sense, a coach, a teacher, it doesn't matter. Every leader out there needs to set the example for what it means to be resilient. And as you grow resilience, the people around you will model. I find that to be extremely important, especially in parenting. There's a lot of parents out there that don't model resilience, and then their children don't, they're just weak-minded in a lot of ways. And that's a shame. So I'll leave you with this. This is something that's been on my heart for a long time. Resilience isn't about never failing. It's about learning how to rise every time you do. If you're facing hardship right now, don't let it define you. Let it refine you. Keep pushing, keep believing, and keep showing up, because success is waiting on the other side of perseverance. This is something that I think could sit with everyone. Perseverance, all together, to me means let it refine you. Let the struggles make you stronger. Thank you for joining us on The Bottom Line. I'm Ryan Herpin. And I will see you next time as we continue to uncover the keys to success. Until then, stay strong, stay focused, and remember, success isn't given, it's earned.